Well, Daddy was a preacher. Well, she was his wife. Just trying to make the world a little better, you know, shine a light. Well, people started talking just to hear their own voice. Those people tried to accuse my father, said he made the wrong choice. Though it might be painful, you know the time will always tell. Those people have long since gone, my father never failed. Well, even when the rain falls, well, even when the flood starts rising, well, even when the storm comes, well, I am washed by the water. Well, even when the rain falls, well, even when the flood starts rising, well, even when the storm comes, I am washed by the water. But even when the earth crumbles under my feet, even when the ones I love, they turn around and crucify me, I won't ever, ever let you down. I won't fall, I won't fall, I won't fall. Starts rising, even when the storm comes, I am washed by the water.
Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Eagles Way Church. Believe it or not, that was one of the first songs that I ever sang on this stage. I don't really know how many years ago that led me on this journey, and I'm thankful for that. You're in a great place. Eagles Way Church is a place filled with hope, love, mercy, and we serve a God who is amazing. We're doing something a little different today. We just have two guitars and a piano, and we're going to sing some newer songs that we just learned a couple days ago. We hope you enjoy them. They're very good worship songs. Very good worship songs. So let's do it.
The Savior, I felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. Be the same. That's why I sing
It's the kind of thing that just breaks a man. Breaks him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord. Then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing it. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. And all my sins, they're forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood.
Sing it, church.
And all my hope is in Jesus. Well, thank God my yesterday's gone. And all my sins, they're forgiven. Yes, they are. And the blood. Yes, I've been washed by his blood.
Amen. So this next song is a song called Reckless Love. I just want to read some of the words to you because they've really spoken to me over the last few days. And Lindsay, she's the one who wanted us to sing this song. She kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And finally, we're going to do it. And I was just singing this over and over again. And the words of this say, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life into me. There was a part to the song that I didn't understand because it says, his overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Now, I went to Griffin Christian. I should know this, but I was like, what is leaves the 99? What is that? And we had to figure it out, and we looked it up. And God will leave the 99 to come find you. And I thought over the times in my life that continually happen when I'm the one who's gone astray, and he continually searches for me and he finds me. Now, I also read that there was some controversy because people say, well, what about us 99? And I read a good thing where somebody said he just popped. The 99 already have a support system. They already have people around them that love them. God's not leaving you. He's leaving you because you're with people that love you, that care for you. But when you go astray, if it's just one, God will seek you, God will find you, God loves you. He breathed life into you before you were born. The moment you were born, God breathed his life into you. It's an overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. Let that be your thought today. Let it be your prayer today. Of thankfulness for a God who loves us, who searches for us when we have gone astray. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. God, we thank you today for your love. We thank you for your overwhelming love, God. We thank you that you search for us, that you know us. Father, when we do things that aren't of the will of God, Father, thank you that you forgive us, that we're able to come right back in line with you, God. I'm so thankful for that today, Father. In Jesus' name.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so good to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Yeah. I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow. Me down, fights till I'm found, leaves 99.
fight till I'm found. Leaves tonight. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah.
Thank you, God, for your overwhelming love, Father. We praise you today, God. We thank you. We thank you that you seek us out, Father. And when we seek you out, you're right there with us, God. We love you. Amen.
Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that's broken.
Our love.
to you only, Lord.
Father, thank you for the breath we breathe, God. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love. Thank you for giving us hope. We just love you and we thank you.
Good morning. Good songs, Brandon. Just did a little concert for us today. Awesome. Don't forget your connection card if you'll fill this out. And at the end of the service, just drop it in one of the four boxes in the back. If you've been coming here lately, you realize we don't pass the bucket anymore to receive our tithes and offerings. We have four boxes in the back of the walls. And so as you leave, if you'll just place it in there, or as most of you already do, you just give online. And thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the offering last week. We're going to be able to go up in the morning and see Larry and Ashley Green and give them almost $2,000. So thank you for what you did. And I was praying this week, and God gave me three words to pray every Sunday, maybe from now on, I don't know. I really don't. I don't know if this is something that is just going to be from now on evermore. But I just was so overwhelmed by it that when the words came out of my mouth and I was praying, I just started weeping. And I knew that these were three such important words. And I'm going to pray it every Sunday when I preach. I'm going to pray it before Dusty comes. I've asked her to open up this new series called Intentional. It's a series we've done over the years from time to time. Intentional about what we do. Intentional. And not just let life be haphazard. That life doesn't just happen to us. We cause things to happen to us. You say, how many know things are going to happen regardless? Happenings are going to happen. We can determine, though, what happens. How many would rather determine what happens and not just let things happen? I want to determine happiness. I want to determine goodness. I want to determine good stuff in my life. Well, to do that, I got to be intentional about what I do. Okay? So to kick this, I know you just were seated, but to kick this off, because I'm so excited about this, not just the intentional series. I'm excited about what I'm about to pray. So you want to stand with me? I'm excited about what I'm about to pray. I'm excited about I'm going to pray this maybe the rest of my life every Sunday morning. That's how critical it is. The word kainos that we've started this year with is a Greek word for renew. And I want to be renewed every week. And so, Father, today I thank you for the times on Sundays we have to come together. Thank you for this first day of the week to really start things off well. And I pray today that Dusty will preach with passion and she'll preach with power and she'll preach with purpose. And I pray today, Lord, that as we leave here, that we leave with a new passion, we leave with a new power, a renewed purpose in our life, and that, God, that we just hit this world head on with all the goodness of the kingdom. And we thank you for it. We believe it. We receive it. We open our hearts, God, for things that we haven't seen in our own hearts. Today we're going to see them. That revelation's going to open up to us. That our hearts are going to be filled more and more and more and more with your goodness. I thank you for every person here. I bless them today. I thank you that they're going to be renewed today, and they're not going to walk out of here the same as they came in, but they're going to walk out of here renewed in every area of their life. And in that, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen. We're going to see if this mic's going to do okay. It caused some problems last week. So far, so good. We'll see. I'm going to tell y'all a cute story. It has nothing to do with today. on the way to, actually, we're getting out of the car this morning early, about 8:15. And Jet looks at me and he says, "Mom, when Brew dies," Brew's our almost 12-year-old lab. He said, "Mom, when Brew dies, are we going to have a funeral for him?" And I just said, "I don't know, Jet. I don't know what we're going to do." I said, "Probably. We'll probably have a funeral for Brew." He said, "Can I preach it?" He said, "Because you know how when you preach and they write articles about it and you get in the paper." He said, "I feel like if I preach, I might get in the paper." I'm going to have to use the handheld, aren't I, Jacob? Yeah, okay. We need an offering for new mics if you guys want to give to that today. Just when you give online, just put offering and then just put mics. That'll be good. I'm going to need help getting out of this. Well, that's all you're going to do? A lot more to this than that. You just do what you're going to do, and I'll do the rest. Anyway, all I could figure is that he has seen my article in the grip and assumes that that is how it happens. Anyway, nothing to do with today. He did watch Homeward Bound, though, yesterday for the first time ever. And I walked into the living room, and I saw the credits going up, and I see him in Chris's recliner with a blanket over his head, and he's just crying. So I think he's just thinking about a lot of things in life right now. I want to start this morning by saying happy birthday to Miss Penny Doss. She is 35 today. Dad has always said you are every age that you've ever been, so whatever you want to be today, you can be. One of the things that I think all of us admire about Penny is an example she is, and that she is intentional of always going to the next level. She is intentional about how she does life and how she walks, which is what we're going to talk about today. I have been blessed, we've been blessed to be surrounded by people who are intentional about how they live. I know Big Mama was one of the most intentional people I've ever known. She, age was just a number. She never like capped off and said, "Well, I'm this old, I'm not going to be intentional about growing anymore or learning anymore." I think she was 93 or 94 when she graduated from Ralph's School of Positive Thinking. And I remember she said, "I don't understand it, but I sure like the way it makes me feel." But she was always so intentional. When Dad and I discussed doing this series, Intentional, something Dad has always said is do not let insignificant things become significant. In other words, don't make these little things that really don't matter become things that suddenly choke out the good stuff. And a way to really explain what we want to do with this series and we want you to grab a hold to is don't let significant things become insignificant. Don't let the things that really, really matter suddenly not matter. It's about keeping the main thing the main thing. There's a thing that's been said, we've heard it said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Have you heard that before? It's not true. The road to hell is paved with no intentions because nobody deliberately tries to create hell for their lives. Do you? I don't wake up in the morning and just say, "You know what? I think I'm just going to say something that's going to tick Chris off." Do you do that? Do you wake up in the morning and say, "I think I'm just going to figure out how to really mess up my kids' lives today"? No, it's not that we don't plan to do that. Intentional means it is done on purpose. It's deliberate. John 10:10 says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Anything that robs you of your peace is a thief. Anything that robs you of keeping the main thing, is a thief. You see, when we choose to make these big things, these small things big, it chokes out what really matters. And that's the thief. But today I want to talk about being intentional and how you walk. Intentional and how you walk. And I'm going to share three things in how you walk that I promise you, if you will do these three things, be intentional in walking a certain way in these three things, it will change every single thing about your life, about your relationships, and you will walk what Jesus says, that Jesus came to give you a rich and satisfying life. So are you ready to start this? All right. Ephesians 5 is where I'm going to be preaching from this morning. And he opens up and he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself up for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So the first thing he says to us is to walk in love. I love the NIV's translation. It says to walk in the way of love. To walk in the way of love. What does this look? This is a sacrificial love. It might be sometimes for me when we have like meat laid out to grill and I choose a chicken to give John Henry the steak. It might look like that. Now, don't ever ask John Henry to give up the steak. That is not the kind of love he can walk in yet. It's not the kind of love Buren walks in yet either. But it's a sacrificial love. It is a love, it's what we hear, that chooses the person over the problem. It is a love that chooses the person over the problem. I'm going to tell you something about problems. Nothing is a problem until we decide it's a problem. Nothing is a problem until you decide it's a problem. I've shared this story before. Several years ago, Chris was leaving for a trip. Big Mom was at the house, and he had just forgotten to do something, and it really, really got all over me. And I was so mad. I have now determined I have a problem. And I picked up my cell phone to call him, and Big Mama says, put that phone down. And she said, that's the problem with young people today. They think they got to talk through everything. There's nothing good's going to come from that phone call. And so you do what Big Mama tells you to do. So I put the phone down, and you know what? Thanks to Big Mama, I chose Chris over the problem. And guess what happened to the problem? It went away. Choose the person over the problem. You see, if we trained ourselves every single day to say, walk in the way of love. Just say it out. Say, walk in the way of love. What if every morning we got up and we just decided that we were going to train ourselves to say that all throughout the day. And then it's the time that someone does something that offends you, that your immediate response is, I'm going to walk in the way of love. Anna does something that aggravates me. What am I going to do? I get to pause and I get to say, because I'm training myself to walk in the way of love. I understand it can be hard to do with some people. You know those people. It can be hard to do. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. He's saying the weak will always be with you. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, encourage those who are timid and take tender care of those who are weak and be patient with everyone. It doesn't just say accept the weak. It doesn't say be tolerant of the weak. It actually says us to walk in such a way with love that that person who struggles with the same thing over and over and over again, and you think they're never going to climb out of it, and you know what? They may never. There's a hope that they will, but what if they never? We have an opportunity. We have a commandment to be tender with them and take care of them and choose to walk in the way of love. When someone posts something on Facebook that you disagree with or that kind of gets you, we have an opportunity to scroll past and walk in the way of love. Not long ago, I decided, Dad, hand me that because that's going to be hard for me to open. A few months back, someone posted something on Facebook, and I normally try to stay out of all that kind of stuff. Every once in a while, I'll say something, you know, like, just fit that in there. Let me shed a little bit of light up in there. And but someone said something, and I was so bothered by it, and I commented. And my defense was, I'm a defending the weak. That's what I'm doing. I am a defender of the weak. Jesus, you know my heart. And let me tell you what I wasn't doing. I wasn't loving. I wasn't choosing the person over the problem. Nothing I said was going to change in that moment. And you think that that little comment was going to suddenly shed this light, and they're going to be like, oh my God, Dusty, I didn't see it that way. Let me totally edit this whole post and change. And you see, I could have walked in the way of love by choosing the person over the problem, but instead I chose to choose the problem. Do you see what I'm saying? Choose the person over the problem. Romans 14 in the Message translation says, welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do, and don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with, and it says treat them gently. It goes on in verse 13, forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it already is. But I am convinced, Jesus convinced me that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, can contaminate it. Everything in and of itself is holy. We're the ones, by the words of our mouth, determine, are we going to contaminate it by the way we talk about it? Dad said a couple weeks ago that what we think affects us, but what we say affects every single person. Let me tell you, what we say not only affects people, it affects things. It'll suddenly cloud out doctrine. It'll cloud out good theology, because you won't know what's truth anymore because you've contaminated this holy thing. The key to walking in the way of love, one of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 119. I'm not sure. Did I give that to you? I did. It says, turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. The King James Version actually says, incline my heart. When you incline something, you set it. You set it there, and no matter what emotion comes, no matter what issue comes, no matter what offense comes, no matter what your spouse says, what your child says, what someone posts on Facebook, no matter what comes, your heart is inclined. It is set in a position to walk in love. When you set your thermostat at your house, and you set it, we set ours to 68, it doesn't matter what outside temperatures come in, my house is going to stay. What did I say? I know. Why are you talking? Set on 68. Now mess me up. How do you do this? How do you incline it? You practice. You practice. You practice. You practice. Kitty, why are you a good pianist? Because you practice. How do you get good at walking this way of love? Because you practice it. You practice it. And you practice it. You see, and this is the thing. You will never feel your way into an action, but you can act your way into a feeling. You can act your way into a feeling. You know how you do it? Because in the wrong emotions come, and someone stirs your nest, whatever's going on, and because you have inclined your heart, you've set it for your automatic response to be love, even when you don't feel it, when you do that, the fruit of that is going to produce something good in that situation, and you're going to say, man, I didn't feel like making that choice. I didn't feel like loving, but I'm kind of liking the results of what I got. The fruit will sell you.
So you've practiced it, you've said it. The next time something comes up, you're like, whew, and set my heart. I've inclined it, and it gets easier, and it gets easier, and it gets easier. And see, then you're not going to have to feel your way into, you're going to feel what you are doing. It's going to become a part of you. You're going to be believing it. We got to get to a point to where we hate discourse more than we hate trying to be right and trying to prove a point. One of the things that David always was trying to teach Solomon, and he said, he told Solomon to hate double-mindedness. To hate double-mindedness, you're just deciding what you hate, deciding what you love. I don't hate an Oreo blizzard, but I hate what it does to me. And so I've got to decide, do I hate that more than the outcome? Don't let temporary emotions determine the outcome of your life. Determine the outcome of your day. Determine the outcome of your relationship. Walk in the way of love. If you will walk in the way of love during the wrong emotions, I promise you, you will have a rich and satisfying life. He goes on in verse 3, says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you, as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. Paul just kind of takes a moment right here, and he's just trying to say, don't fill your hearts and lives with things that are going to keep you from walking in love. Don't fill your mind. Be careful what you're filling your mind with. Don't stir things you don't need to stir. Your language is supposed to be thankfulness and gratitude and appreciation. That's what your language, be careful what God, I always tell my kids, what goes in the well comes up in the bucket. Don't stir offenses. Don't stir things. And then he says, walk in light. He says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I want to stop there for a minute. Do you know how to tell if something is light and something is right? Look at the fruit of it. If it's producing, it says it's in all goodness. Sometimes it can be easy to get caught up and say, well, I can't find that in the Word. The Scripture says you will know them by their fruit. Is it producing fruit, good fruit? And then it says, finding out what's acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. This is not trying to expose somebody and uncover them and say, look what Ken did. Let me expose you, Ken. That's not the expose. And you'll see this in a minute. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. I'm going to show you this in the NIV because it's really going to explain it even better. For everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. You light up everywhere you go. You know how I know the world is getting better? Because you're here. Because everywhere you go, you light it up. This is not me. This is in Ephesians. Everything exposed by the light, everything that is illuminated becomes light. Everywhere you go becomes light. Walk with such an awareness, knowing that you carry the presence of God within you, this light within you. Walk with such awareness. You know what? When you're around someone and they have this presence about them and you just always feel good when you're around them, you know the difference between that person and someone else is that they have awakened to who they are, to that light. They're just aware. They are carrying this light with them. Not only do we need to walk with an awareness of the light within us, we need to walk with the awareness of the light in everyone else. Wayne Dyer says, to see the light in others and treat them as if that is all you see. Not only do I get to walk, that we get to walk in our light, but we get to be illuminated by the light in other people. My children are some of my greatest illuminators. I've had to grow in realizing they're not agitators, they're illuminators. And I'm going to share with you three stages with Anna of where I've allowed her to illuminate my life. Years ago, this is stage one. Dad shared last week how if there's one person in the family is going to say something like totally out there and kind of stretch you, and like you don't know how to respond, it's Anna. She's that person. So years ago, Anna would say something. It would be so far out there, and I would respond to her, and I'd say, sister, let me shed some light on this so you can think the right way and you can see the right way. That's how I would respond. And I grew a little bit. I read some parenting books and, you know, talked to Dad a little bit. He was a grace parent now, not a grandparent, not the way he parented me. It was good, but he's better grace parenting. It's all been good. Level number two. Level number two is Anna says something totally out there. And I didn't say it out loud. I got control of my inner voice, and I kept it inner, and I would just inside say, God, you just show Anna, just shed light on her. I'm going to let you do your work, because there's no big God in me and little God in Anna. I'm just going to let you do your work. That was level two. Now, I am working on level three. And I say working, I'm still working it out. Don't come into my house and say, remember, Dusty, you said. We're all working through our own salvation. So I'm working on this. But this is where I am. And I've done this well. I've been practicing it, inclining my heart to walk in this kind of light. And so she will say something totally out there. And now, instead of, God, you just show Anna. You know what I'm saying? God, you show me what you want me to see. You shed light on me and show me what you want me to see. Because you know what? I don't have to worry about shedding light on Anna. I just have to be light. One of my favorite authors who wrote The Conscious Parent says, I'm going to tell you in a minute. You don't fix your child, you create the conditions for them to rise. All I got to do is be light and be who I am, and I've created the conditions for her to rise. And I don't have to shed light because God's going to take care of himself and her. I got to be concerned about me. God, what do you want me to see? Walk in the way of love. Walk with the awareness of the light you carry, that you illuminate, and walk with the awareness of the light that other people illuminate. And be ready to receive. Be open to receive. And finally, in verse 15, he says, and then see that you then walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That sounds really scary. It's not as scary as it sounds. I'll get there in a minute when you hear evil. Walk carefully. Walk circumspectly means that you walk carefully. It's someone who tries to avoid problems, getting into situations. Paul reiterated this message in Colossians 4. He said, walk in wisdom towards those who were outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each one. You see, when we walk carefully, we don't have to regret speaking before thinking. I've always liked the analogy of going barefoot outside. We probably did that a lot more as kids than we do now, but can you remember being a kid? And, or even now when I take my shoes off and I want to run out to get something, I don't just go barefoot and barrel through to my car or barrel through to where I'm going. I carefully walk everywhere I step, carefully walking. And you see, when we're carefully walking, we're pausing and thinking. We're pausing and thinking. You really can't walk carefully if you're not thinking about your thinking. And you can't think about your thinking if you're not pausing. Dad has said a long time ago, he said, if you are attentive to what's going on around you, there won't be any battles. Kitty, you can be coming. If you are careful in how you walk, choosing love, choosing to be light, choosing to receive light, if you are careful in how you walk, there will not be any battles because you have inclined your heart. You've set it to love. And the reward in it all is in verse 16 when he said that see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise. But he said redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil, that sounds scary. What does that mean? It means there will always be something vying for your time. There will always be something vying, wanting to win your energy. There will always be something wanting to make big things small things and small things big things. You see, we are either wasting our time or we are redeeming our time. Every time I choose a problem instead of a person, I've wasted time. Anytime I allow, whether it's Chris to do something and I give energy to this thing to bother me and I create this problem, I've wasted time instead of redeemed it. Anytime I allow an offense to take up root in my life and I choose to not walk in love, I've wasted my time instead of redeemed it. But every single time I choose to incline my heart and set it, this week as I was preparing for this message, Chris came in from a trip. And he had all of his stuff like he always does all over the room. And sometimes I say something, sometimes I don't. And actually, this probably completely forfeited, canceled out what I was trying to do. I said, hey, I just want you to know, I noticed all your stuff on the floor, but I'm talking about walking in love, and I'm not choosing the person over the problem. So I see the problem, but I'm not even bringing the problem up. I'm just saying I'm choosing you over that. And I don't think I canceled it out. I mean, I've just saying that I'm choosing you over this problem. But you know what? We were kind of making a joke of it. But you know what I'm able to do when I really do that is redeem the time. Redeem the time. There's been this horrible meme going on social media. I say horrible because it gets my heart sad. It says you have 18 summers with your children. Who's seen that? It's just like, stop. But there's truth in that. There's truth in our number of days. God, remind me. Remind me. What are you going to spend your energy doing? What are you going to spend your time doing? Holding something in? Are you going to choose to spend it? God, I'm going to redeem these days. Like when you redeem a coupon, it's like you use it and you give it to the cashier and you get this deal, this back. Jesus came to give you life and to give it more abundantly so that you can redeem your days. Today is communion. And we know on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he just by example said, "This is my body broken for you. On the night I am betrayed, I'm going to choose to walk in love." The elders will be coming. Father, I thank you that on the night you were betrayed, that you showed us a new way to walk. Thank you for your body that was broken for us, that sacrificial love that said, "I am laying down all that I am for all that you are." We take this in remembrance of that kind of love. Father, I thank you for your blood that has made everything holy. And Father, teach us, show us, remind us, Father, to be careful with our words so that we don't contaminate what you have called holy. And we take this blood and we drink it in remembrance of that kind of love. Father, I thank you for a body of people here who are known for a sacrificial, unconditional love. I thank you, Father, for what Dad brought last week, that love, accept, and forgive, that is the banner over Eagles Way Church. That is the banner over every person who is a part of this family and every person who walks in these doors, Father. That is what they feel. They feel loved. They feel accepted. Because, Father, we have inclined our hearts to walk. We are intentional to walk in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to worship. And that's it. Okay.
By the Savior, I felt fire from above, but I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. I've been washed by the blood.
by the blood. Amen. You guys have a great day.